Bonjigani, everyone. This is Professor Alvin Robb, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach. We want to welcome you to the Conscious Corner, along with my co-host, Joe Hembrick, a longtime activist and community servant, from the standpoint of being a longtime educator for Linwood Unified School District, as well as Compton Unified School District in various capacities, from teacher to administrator. And we want to thank him for coining the name of our show, Conscious Corner. We hope to discuss some critical issues that affects us, as we call this a think tank, not only just to discuss, but to try to come up with solutions. And so we want to start immediately with get right into it. Rasha K, did you get my email with Smokey Robinson? In text?
Yes, I got it.
Could you share the screen and clear?
Okay. Okay, go ahead and discuss it a little bit till I pull it up.
Okay, this is an interview that Smokey Robinson did with Mike Wallace. I think that's his name. I don't know if it's Mike Wallace. It's one of the guys who used to be on Fox. Smokey said he rejected the name African American. At first he said he would be a Black American. He would rather be called a Black American. Then he said, no. Then he got into the discussion. He said, we are American American. Because we was born here and we served in the army and we did this and we did that. And one of the biggest crises among many African Americans is coming up with a unified or national identity while we're here. And we have various names from color to Negro to Black to African American to Afro American. So the crisis is one in which deserves some type of attention, along with the fact that white supremacy is really gone mad. The Senator Permobile from Alabama said that he believed that it's all right for white supremacists to be in the military. Well, they're already in the military, but the point is that he was saying that he was upset with Jimmy Carter's lecture, where he said that the biggest threat to America is white supremacist groups, terrorist groups, militias, and that they shouldn't be in the United States military. So he's holding up. Somerville is holding up the promotion of many of the generals. But anyway, let's go ahead and watch this video with Smokey Robinson, and then we'll get into it. Go ahead. Will it play? It's not playing. You can't get it to play? You on mute, Roger Key.
Greetings.
Okay. Yes, I can get it, but I just have to put on the sound. Okay. You ready?
Yeah. Good reading. Make it, just make it happen. We can't hear it. Oh, wow. Wonder why it won't sound. Is that the email or the text?
You can't hear it.
No. You could hear it?
No, I can't hear it.
I mean, Roger Key, could you hear it?
Let's see if you can now. Yeah, I could hear it.
Being
Can you now?
an American American,
Yeah,
being
bag it up though.
born in Chicago or New York or Detroit or wherever you were born,
you have said that you resent the idea of being called an African American, that
Yes.
you are a black American.
Yes.
Explain.
I think that when they call black people who were born and raised for generations in this country, if you accept the handle of African American, that says that you don't accept being an American American. You don't accept being born in Chicago or New York or Detroit or wherever you were born. For generations, your family has been here, you know? Built this country too. Sweat and tears and all that, you know, fought in every war, okay? So this is my country here. So I don't want to be called African American. I'm an American American. My people have died and done everything for this country.
That was basically it. A sister making happening. What do you think about that comment?
Wow.
Yeah.
We still there, right?
Well, smoking. You know?
Smokey represents a lot of people.
Yeah, and he inherited his blue eyes or green eyes from his grandmother, they say.
You know, so it's a tough call. You know, I know who I am, and but I could say that as a people, we still have these same issues that, you know, for centuries we've been fighting to, you know, reclaim ourselves. And you know, that's just the battle, you know. But the art of war, you know, everybody's not gonna go. You know, some will, some won't, and then so what, and next, you know. And some of them are gonna be in our family, you know. It's a battle, you know. It's a serious battle of consciousness and where you want to be. And I understand what he's saying because I agree. We did earn a lot. We did a lot here. We've given a lot. We've lost a lot, right? But this is not where it started from. But then you have some that believe that's all a hoax too, that we were here too. So there's all kinds of discussions that you can have, but you got to kind of rest in where you are inside and what you're going to be doing for your family. And knowing that even your kids might decide that they don't want to be on the road that you're on.
Yeah, that's true, and that's one of the biggest battles we have with the young people who see things are different because of the technology and lifestyles that they have that are different from ours, and the issues they have to deal with. I mean, we made a delineation between gays and straight people, whereas they're accepting it. We had different drugs, and they got some stuff that knocks you out and give you a different perspective. Their whole concept of school is based on technology, computer technology. And they have a rougher time in school where the standards for getting into college is higher than what it was when we were going. And that's a way of blocking black people from getting an education, the majority of them. When for the black colleges who graduate the majority of black people, we have a problem. Brother Joe, what do you think about where this comment was?
Well, Smokey needs to stick with singing.
Yeah.
That's something that he knows, but oftentimes when an issue comes up regarding any social or cultural situation, the media wants to go to people like him, you know, and ask what they think. pro sports players and actors, most type of folks. Most of the time, most of them don't know diddly as far as, you know, who they are and where they're from and what they ought to be about. Some are afraid to challenge. I remember I used to be in Esiwan. I used to see Wesley Snipes in there all the time on knowledge and whatnot. But that's the psychological battle that we're in. The battle is between our ears. And, you know, as long as we continue to commit cultural genocide, you know, to ourselves by operating and functioning the basic stuff on this Euro, on this Eurocentric situation, those educated and uneducated, you know, we're going to be a long way away from where we ought to be. And that's another reason why you can go to any major university in this country, still don't find any classes on the Africans.
What do you refer yourself to as far as your identity?
Kemetic, Akibulan. I can ascribe to all of them, but the thing with me is, you know, what are you doing to help recover ourselves from where we are and get to where we need to be? That's the issue. We call ourselves if we want to, but identity is big. And until we start teaching it to the kids, you know, this is what these so-called societal leaders are saying and thinking, that those people that look to them are going to be of the, you know, pretty much the same mindset, just because they say it made famous, that it's got to be so. But we are really so far away from ourselves, it is ridiculous.
That's what the ancients taught, know thyself.
That's my mission too. You see the back of his hat, what it said. You know thyself. So I'm committed. I know that's my calling. That's the reason I'm here, to wake up the walking dead.
What would you tell people who they self is, who you thought didn't know who they were? What would you tell them?
That again.
What would you tell somebody who came up there who you thought didn't know who they were from the standpoint of their culture or their struggle or their religion, and you was going to tell them you need to know thyself, and they said, "Well, who you think I am, or what I'm at?"
Well, I would have to take them to the beginning, the man first being on this planet. You know, if I could take them back there, but you can't. But there's a two-pronged thing to where we are and what we're calling ourselves and whatnot. You know, we all know about the transatlantic slave trade, all of that. But a few 100,000 years before that, you know, we came here as explorers. And that's another aspect that we're not hip to. I've talked to a lot of the brothers that cater to the, you know, to the Hebrew Israelite thing, and they go off some scripture that has them thinking that it's the truth, because it says, like, you know, we're going to be carried away in ships. And I always ask them, well, what about the ships that we sailed here in from the get-go, you know, before America was America, before anybody else was over here?
Where did they sail from?
They say, well, you know, that's that lost tribe thing and all of that.
No, I mean, where did they, where, you said that we came here in ships before the Holocaust of enslavement.
Well,
But I asked you, where did the people that came here first that were African, where did they sail from?
they sail from Northeast Akibulan, like
Which is sometimes called what?
Egypt, if you will. Now, but the Olmec head, if you look at it, that's from the third dynastic period during the time of Makeda. That's what they symbolize. But I believe we were even here before that. Actually, Maqueda, it is said, had maps of the New World back during her reign. Understand? So it's a matter of how far back you want to go and how deep you want to dig and how much research you want to do. Like, for example, there's one book called America BC by Barry Fell. There was another, I hate to use a European reference, but in this case I am. But these two historians, one worked for Harvard, one worked for Yale, and they got fired for writing the books that they wrote about America's first civilization. But they really weren't referring to them as Africans. They were calling them Colossians and all these other names, anything away from dealing with the term that they gave us, African, which is Kemet, which is our Kibu line, if you will. So you kind of got to give people a history lesson. I tell them, that's what I do. Don't hire me to fix the electricity in your house, but if you want to know some history, then ask. I can
Yeah,
tell.
but we're just talking about identity based on the history. And sometimes you have to speak in the language they understand. As Malcolm would say, I want to speak in the language you understand. And trying to communicate them to what their identity should be is different from, just dealing with it from a standpoint of ancient history. It's that's a part of it, but like you said, even the ancient civilizations, Kemet, Akhenaten was some major cities, the University of Timbuktu, all of them, and even the how did they move from the first earliest African people or Akhenaten people. To the point where they built pyramids and built boats. I mean, they didn't, the first people didn't do that. They were doing something else. But anyway, I was just wanting you to see, if someone came up to you and was arguing that I'm not African, I'm not black, I'm not Ibadan, what would you tell them they are? If they asked you, if they would say, "Hey, what do you think I should call myself?" And you would tell me, but telling you would say, "Well, you got to go and do your research and history."
I'm going to answer the question if you give me the opportunity to answer. I would tell them
Wait a minute, I can't hear you. You're breaking up. Go ahead.
I would tell them that whenever you call a person by a name, you have to add land and culture to that name. If you don't, then you're calling them out of their name. And whatever they're referencing, calling them themselves, whether it's Negro, Black, I would ask them, name me a land mass that goes by that name. Okay? Like Negro, there's no Negro land, there's no Black land. Whenever you call a person a name, land and culture needs to be tied to that name. And then they can figure that out for themselves, what they want to call themselves. I don't, and for me, the thing they call themselves really doesn't matter. It's what are you doing that matters.
Okay. Rashid, how do you feel about what Smokey said?
I think there's people like Smokey put there, and he just adds to the confusion. And when you get in the perspective of somebody that doesn't do his, he doesn't teach history, doesn't study history, and if he does, I don't know if Smokey does or not, but if he's just going on, we built this place and we're just American Americans and we're in a racial context, I think he's missing the point. Since we live in a racial context, you got to have some type of identity in the racial context. So the the closest things that we can identify with is African because of our look and the way in the history that tells us we were brought here from Africa. So that's a, I don't think that since we're in a racial context, I don't think you shouldn't have a identity. You should have some type of identity. Verbal, you know, verbally, you should be considered some type of African. But, you know, I would kind of agree with Joe. You know, you're putting him out in front. It's like he, what have he studied, and, you know, what has he done when it comes to dealing with this type of subject?
Man, he only went to high school.
Yeah, well, you know, he, I think he adds to the confusion. You
And
know, you have a bunch of people confused about everything, and then you throw somebody like him in the mix, just adds to it.
sometimes you try to use scientific principles to try to discover the transformation. I mean, you know, identity changes based on your oppression. That's why many people in other countries speak different languages. They were conquered by different people, many of them. There are some that just learned other languages and studied it, you know, for different reasons. Spanish was not the Native American language. It was an imposition. English was not our language. And so you can go by dialect and things of that nature, trace people back to their origins. And, but at the same time, sometimes people use scientific principles to determine, like right now they're saying in the reparations movement that they, in California, they're recommending that the state fund and develop a genealogy division to trace people through their ancestry or back to determine who qualified for the money or for the reparations. And you know, that's one thing. And there's a difference between a racial identity and an ethnic identity. Most Europeans that see themselves as white supremacists came in various European ethnic groups, and then they unified under the auspices of white supremacy, which they weren't when they first came here. They had the French colonies, the German colonies, Jewish colonies, and it was the 13 colonies, Spanish colonies, and all of that. And they were that. And then they, when they fought their revolution, won their revolution, they began to develop a white nationalism, white supremacy. Why they wouldn't let the Native American go, wouldn't let none of the free people that were, got freed from the Holocaust of enslavement, as they couldn't vote and couldn't participate and share the power from that standpoint. But that's a social dynamic, a social construction of an identity. Race is a social construction. You know, regardless of what you call yourself, it's about the dominant imposition of who's in power, what they call you, and what and how they develop institutions to represent what they call you. You know, that's why the fugitive Holocaust of enslaved laws and that you're not a human being and all that type of stuff. The pre-Adamites, talking about we were the things that were the, we were included as one of the things that creepeth upon the earth. you know, we were animals. We even put out stories we had tails. People, and they knew better. Many of them knew better. Like many of them know better right now, but they still trying to impose their concept of white supremacy on people because they have a power. I mean, they destroyed black nationalist groups. and but they won't destroy the white nationalists. How could the Proud Boys, Faith Keepers, and all these militias exist without penetration by the FBI like they did black groups and created the frictions and the fights and the things of nature? And then you have presidents and senators defending them. Then he, if he gets to be president, he's going to pardon the ones that attack themselves and trying to get him to be president. He say, hey, I'm a pardon. And there's a cadre of people that will still vote for him, even though he said that. But anyway, let me just get with the scientific aspect. See, there are many dynamics of the evolution of identity. You look at the young people, they don't dress the way many of us dressed when we was going to school. They're into different popular culture activities and things of this nature. But anyway, let me just deal with some science. There's one is called the anthropological origin of your existence. You use anthropology as a source of determining the origin of your identity. Now, you can change it anytime you want, like you change your name. You can say, hey, I don't care where you say I'm from, this is what I want to be like smoking, you know, that's just it. But the majority of people of dark pigmentation, bushy hair, thick lip, and broad nose come from the continent of Akebanon, as Joe said, as Africa, as modern history, and as Europeans who named it after Africanus. It got that name. And then now Africans say they're from that part. They even refer to the 12 million square miles of the continent of Africa as Africa. From that standpoint, they even call it African Union, the African Union, meaning all the various ethnic groups that are part of that organization. You have Nelson Mandela and the Free African Movement from apartheid. They were referring to themselves as an African people, Steve Biko in South Africa and in Rhodesia at that time, named at the Cecil Rhodes. They all that, but from an anthropological standpoint, you don't go by what people call you or what people rename you. You go by what nature says your identity is from the standpoint of your origin of existence. And that is by what excavating bones and artifacts that represented the history of your people. The more you dig, the deeper you go, the more you find different elements that says that the origin of people of dark pigmentation, bushy hair, thick lips, and broad nose was the continent of Akebanon, 12 million square miles. You know, just listen to the anthropologists. Even it doesn't matter what shade they are, they all go there to study the origin of civilization and the origin of life. And they, now they even do it through DNA, testing the fossils and the artifacts. Now, you have no problem going to a bread tar pit and they excavate the dinosaur bones, reconstruct them, tell you which ones were vegetarians, which one was carnivores, which ones flew, and which one, and they even have depictions of them when you take the kids there. This is their vision of saying that, you know, they accept the fact that the first, that there were some dinosaurs and there were some prehistoric animals and prehistoric people, prehistory people, and things of this nature based on finding bones and artifacts. And based on the artifacts they find, they can tell you who were warriors because they had weapons and who were just of building civilizations because they had tools and they had art and they had things that represented a civilization. So that's an anthropological perspective. Anthropology has two tenets. One is anthropology from the standpoint of just dealing with cultural dynamic, and the other one deals with fossils and deals with dynamics of what they call physical anthropology. And that's a science you can get in many universities. I know I got credit for physical science from Idaho when I was up there, transferred to Compton College, because the way the class was structured, the outline, and the way that it was taught at North Idaho Community College. And so they gave me credit for taking physical science. And you look at my transcript, that's the only, when I transferred to Cal State Long Beach, I didn't have to take physical science because of, I took anthropology, yes, cultural anthropology and then anthropology. And so they gave me credit for science, you understand? So that sort of substantiate what I was saying. Then you move from physical science of determining your identity to what you would call physiological aspect of your identity. And that is, you know, whereas your pigmentation, your bushy hair, your DNA, all of that compose you, your identity. And you are in it, and you're connected to those fossils and those artifacts through DNA and through various other physical proof that your physical ology came from them people. From the standpoint of melanin, you know, they test people for melanin and they test people for physical structures and bushy hair and things of this nature. And that's why, you know, many anthropologists have determined that the homeland for Kibalanian people, as Joe would call them, or African people, is the continent of Africa from an anthropology and a physiology. Physiology is like physical science. Physiology it's a science. It's not, you can argue all you want, who I am, what I am. You call yourself whoever you want. Or you can accept what somebody else call you. But I'm just going about what nature and science is. Science, the word science means to know. And that's based on facts. So you deal with that dynamic of the anthropological origin of the existence and the physiological trait of genealogy of your existence. And that's that tells you your origin. Now, what your origin is has nothing to do with what you call yourself. And what you and how you see yourself, and then from the physiological, you go to the philosophical or dynamic, and that's when people move from the era of discovery to the era of development, from food gathering to food producing, and now when you have more time, you can think and you can create. You can ask questions. When you need shelter and need food, you ain't got time to do all that philosophy stuff. You are trying to survive. But when you get to the point where you are secure and you have homes and thatched huts on top of the ground, thing, now you can think and you can question where to start, what the stars mean. You can build pyramids. You can do the things that represent your identity and as you speak to the world through building these things, who you are. And so, and philosophy is also your value system, your ethics, your morals come from, and that's why they deal with those dynamics. And way before there was your religions and things of this nature, there were people that were practicing ethics and morals and philosophies and developing them in contrast with nature and in contrast with their environment. They knew their environment. They knew the animals. I mean, there was no fence. There was no hunting and killing animals for no reason and things of this nature. They could walk and the animals see them and they weren't intimidated, and the animals was intimidated, but nobody bothered each other. I mean, you know, that was just the way it was. And you know, like, you know, people don't want to deal with that, but there is a philosophical dynamic. The Akebanian people that moved from savagery, the era of discovery, trying to find out who they were in contrast to the and what the environment said they were, and they discovered that they were, they could build tools and weapons and hunting weapons and things of this nature. And so that set them apart from the animal world that they were in, and there was a fluence about them. And they wouldn't been able to reproduce and multiply if they didn't get along with nature, if they didn't work with nature, found out what plants were poisonous, find out what things harm you in your environment from that standpoint. So those are the three dynamics. And as I said, your philosophies and ideology, as Joe points out, when you deal with Nefer, you deal with the hieroglyphics. You know, they were signs and symbols that they dealt with before they even got into hieroglyphics. That was way down the line, way down the line. You know, it's like 50 years ago, we wouldn't even know about what they would call AI, artificial intelligence. We didn't have computers. We didn't have the cell phones. We didn't have those things. And that changes you. That changes your lifestyle and changes your understanding from that standpoint. This is the dynamic of that. But those are three of the major sciences that some people use. All people don't. I mean, that's what Malcolm used to say. He would tell Smokey, just because you're born in a if a cat climb up in the stove and have kittens, that don't make the kittens biscuits. Because you were born here and you were forced to work here, you know, and we helped build this country. But under what conditions did we do that? And did we want to do it? How come we didn't build our country and build it from that standpoint and work free? See, so you have to ask yourself questions to a person that, you know, like you said, Rashiki, he has a lot of influence with his records and things in this nation and his stardom. But at the same time, that don't make him a scientist. That don't make him a historian if he never studied it. And if he never dealt with it from a scientific perspective, this is just his opinion. But his opinion can be dangerous, you know, to us. Mashinda, we were just talking about what Smokey Robinson said in an interview on 60 Minutes, that he didn't want to be called Black American, and he didn't want to be called because we worked in this country and we helped build and we served in the military. He wanted to be called, first he said, Black American. Then he said, no, African, American American. And so we were discussing, well, how do you see yourself as an individual? And just to make it happen, says she knows who she is. She ain't worried about what he say or what he do. And then Brother Joe was giving us the history of identity of Kibanon, that we came here before the Holocaust of enslavement. And Rashi T was also giving a narrative. So we're going to have, you know, maybe Roger, you can play it again so you can get a flavor and give us your opinion. I just went through three basic sciences that some scholars use, including myself when I was teaching, to try to get people to see themselves from an anthropological, physiological, and philosophical, scientific, and that's social science, philosophy, ideology, philosophy. You know, there's two tendencies to philosophy, logic, and then the standpoint of lifestyle. And then, anyway, but here we go again.
That you resent the idea. You have said that you resent the idea of being called an African American, that
yes.
You are a Black American.
Yes.
Explain.
I think that when they call Black people who were born and raised for generations in this country, if you accept the handle of African American, that says that you don't accept being an American American. You don't accept being born in Chicago or New York or Detroit or wherever you were born. For generations, your family has been here, you know, built this country too. Sweat and tears and all that, you know, fought in every war, okay? So this is my country here. So I don't want to be called African-American. I'm an American-American. My people have died and done everything for this country.
So that's it, Mashinda. You hear it? Mashinda, you there? You're on mute.
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Yeah, did you see it?
Yeah, I did see it.
Yeah. How do you respond to that? How do you see the identity of us as a people?
Well, you know, that's, I don't know, like, you know, hearing Smokey say that, I don't think, you know, my understanding, Smokey's been all over the world, you know, something that I haven't been, you know, all over the world. And he's performed everywhere, loved by a lot of people, but not sure he's ever visited Africa. I don't think he has. Anyway, you know, so he doesn't have a relationship or identity with it. You know, some people are privileged. They'd be able to travel, you know, can spend money to travel and check it out, but he don't appear to be interested in that. You know, I think he's got his, you know, his glory over here in America, you know, and loved by whites and blacks. A lot of times, you know, I see a lot of people who, you know, it's like a lot of politicians, you know, that have white constituencies. Black, you know, they got, you know, kind of like Obama, you know, they don't just, you know, they don't identify totally. I mean, they identify, but, you know, they got to be politically correct, you know, in what they say and things like that, you know. But he seemed pretty convicted about, you know, how he felt, you know, like, hey, you know, I guess he feel like he's, you know, has a right to his opinion. And not only that, he's a big, you know, he's a bigger than life star. A lot of people know about Smokey Robinson from the music industry, but from his politics and how he feels, you know, about history and things like that, I think he probably don't have a understanding, you know, to another level to where he would accept that. You know, when he's hollering about America, you know, people like to think that, oh, we talk conspiracy theories and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's people who lack the understanding, you know, because there's not only empirical evidence, it's all kind of evidence on the planet of, you know, what has transpired. But he's trying to identify, you know, he's got an identity, you know, with America. You know, that's what I'm saying. He has to, you know, he feels like, hey, you don't want to, you know, hurt the feelings of some white folks, so to speak. And I don't think he's just doing it to be politically correct, really. I think just that's just how his mind has been developed. And he lacks understanding, you know. Not saying that he needs to be hateful and or, you know, anti, do what he want to do. But I'm just saying to be so convicted how he said that. And he did say that, you know, his people built the country. You know, he's right. You know, they built this country, you know. So And he's old. He's old school. When I say old school, you know, there's a lot of guys that are old school that they have different schools of thought, you know. And but anyway, I ain't here to, you know, he do what he want to do. I mean, it's too late in the game to be worried about old Smokey. But it's I find his comments kind of interesting and, you know, and kind of shocking in a way to a certain degree, you know, growing up being like this. From the neighborhood.
You're breaking up, Machine.
I'm driving, by the way. So.
All right.
But, any more questions?
No, that's a good one. I mean, you answered. But, you know, see, there's reasons, like you say, people, you know, many African Americans, you know, the majority of a large percentage of black of people from a Cuban line or that's been here a long time see themselves as American, and some of them refer to themselves as African American or Negro. Even some people still, you know, when they were saying we're black, but I'm still a Negro, you know. And Negro means to be absorbed in someone else's culture because you accept their definition of you. Absorption means that totally, you know, we used to name organizations, Negro organizations, the National Negro Women, the National Negro this, the Negro this, the Negro that. So, you know, we were just trying to communicate because of the imposition of the system that put us on it. Negro just means that you really accept yourself as an American, and you see yourself as an American. That's why the people that flew in Tuskegee. I mean, I always wanted to know why you joined the Army. Some people say they joined the Army to try to win our freedom back in the Civil War and the World War, the Revolutionary War. They fought and thought that they would get there. That all the black people would benefit from it, but they didn't. And I mean, and even today, you know, you had black people fighting. Some people were drafted, and then some joined because they say that make a man out of you, and this and that, and this and that. And some women joined. You know, I mean, that's the way it was. But the word Negro generally means absorption into somebody else's culture. When you accept someone else teaching you who you are and treating you and calling you that. And the word Negro also meant black in Spanish and other than some other language of Negro. And so, you know, that in Spanish, people were some of the first exploiters of the Holocaust of enslavement, you know, through piracy and other ways in which they would come and sell us here and see. Spain is in Europe. Spain is not in Mexico, you know, and that's why people of the Native Americans speak Spanish, because white, if you go to Spain and Europe, you see they white people. And so, but anyway, that's an absorption. And then the word African American is a compound identity where you say, I'm from Africa heritage, but I have an American identity. And so they look at that as a form of a compound identity. You know, then we change and they start naming organizations and referring to themselves as African or Afro-American. They began to, you know, have the transformation after the Holocaust of enslavement, that identity came about. But in the Holocaust of enslavement, they referred to us as Negroes, and that carried a long way. Afro-American identity came out, you know, probably more likely during the 50s and 60s. But that came through people trying to bridge their, merge their heritage with their identity. You had a lot of resistance of black people to the Holocaust of enslavement and the identity and position that Europeans put on. So And then the black identity is about isolation. So you have the Negro being absorbed, the Afro-American assimilation, you know, trying to, you know, be both. And then you have absorption, isolation. You know, that's why black organizations were isolationists. I mean, white people were a part of them. For the most part, I mean, the Nation of Islam, black Muslims, black Panthers, they called themselves that, and many of them believed in separation and believed in that they were, that made them distinctive from white people who referred to themselves as white people. And that's how they were able to get along, the French, the Dutch, Portuguese, all them white folks. Or different identities, but they came together under white nationalism. And, you know, even Jews were part of it. And that included their kids and everybody else. And so, then there's the individual, okay, you know, who just dealing with survival. You know, he's on whoever's side winning, you know. I mean, I'm me. You know, that's who I am. I'm my mama's baby. You know, that individual is a person that don't want to identify with any of those four, those other three, and then want to just be able to determine who they are. I'm a human being, you know. As Jay Rogers said, there ain't but one race, and that's the human race. But anyway, that's the way some people teach about identity, to try to help people. But you have to coach people to get to see and to get to want to discover or become interested in their identity history. There's one thing about genealogy, that's family history. But from the standpoint of, you know, your individual perspective, but trying to become more intellectual about who you are and more scientific about who you are. But when you just want to, you know, that's why some youngsters, I'm Pookie, I'm Baby Dog, I'm Dick Dog, I'm Wild Dog, I'm, you know, I'm Poochie, you know, all the nicknames, you know, I'm Pumpkin, I'm Sweetback, I'm this, I'm that, you know. And love their nickname. You ain't, man. They call me sweet, you know, sugar bear, you know, all that type of stuff. You know, like Native Americans would name their children after nature. You know, you running deer, you little river, you this, that, you that. But you know, we were, you know, and that led to a lot of confusion about identity, and that's why there's so much confusion to, even up to today. So how do you respond to that, Joe? Are you there? Yeah, I see you coming in.
How to respond to what?
The commentary that I've been talking about.
Well,
from the historian standpoint.
Well, you know, comment on humans being as one race, the only race is human race, where people evolved into being, all of them are African. From a nature and science standpoint, they evolved and what they evolved into from, you know, climactic conditions. But getting back to Brother Robinson, you know, he's typical of that era of folks. Just the way they think, you know, they're not gonna read anything other than a few pages of a particular book to know, you know, what they need to be calling themselves. But like I said, to me, it doesn't matter. It's what you're doing. He's doing something to help liberate black people. He can call himself whatever he wants to. Make me no difference. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, that's the war mentality.
Just a couple of when you were talking about the you know, the different European groups that came in, what they were calling themselves and how they were this and that when they first came. Well, actually, a large degree of them came as indentured servants. You know, the Europeans were, you know, they were emptying out their jail cells tired of feeding them. So they sent half of them here to America, half to what was named Australia, New South Wales at the time. And, you know, and they were just thugs and gang criminals. And they had that mentality, still have that mentality. That's another story. But anyway, getting into this white supremacy thing, this is something I've been checking out. Because, you know, a large percentage of the Latino world, you know, wants to be identified as white. When you mentioned some of these white supremacy groups, like the Proud Boys, the dude that was leading that at the
Cuban Latino,
you know, he's a Cuban, you know what I mean? He ain't no redneck white boy. And a lot of these folks who are
Clarence Thomas
group, you know, were unsuccessful people in the areas that they chose for, you know, their livelihood and whatnot. And so they're falling back on this just to, you know, be a part of something and also keep a foot on the African neck and mind and existence. So, like I say,
well, Adam, what did I do? Powell, the general. And Davis, the general, they were dealing with the white nationalist army,
right?
They weren't referred to as extremists, but they was over there taking countries and leading and teaching them how to kill people, and getting medals for it.
Yeah. Well, for the last 500 years, that's been the mission.
Well, we always have collaborators. Every group had collaborators. The Native Americans. Geronimo, the Native American, was caught. Another Native American tracked him down for the European military. So there's collaborators. Japanese during the World War, they joined America to bomb Japan and the indigenous nation fight. So collaborators come with oppression and money and other deals and things of this nature. You're gonna have that, but the majority of us were victims. And like you said, the indentured servant, really, that's just a name they called themselves. They were, because they said in 7 years they could stop being a slave, but the indentured servant just means you're a slave.
Exactly. You know?
Yeah. You know?
Exactly.
You know, so. They weren't chattel slavery. That came to us.
Right. True.
You know.
True.
Yeah.
The point I was trying to make is, you know, they weren't these colonists and whatnot, like you described earlier. They were out of the prison system in Europe when they got here and New South Wales. That's where they came from.
And was put out the country because of their religious practices too. But, they were doing some crazy stuff, witchcraft, all that stuff.
That's true.
And they ran them out of there for that too.
That too, true, because they didn't want to go along with the way the Catholic Church was doing with Christianity. That was the reason for the Inquisition. Mm-hmm. You didn't, Hispanic, you know, the Spanish Inquisition, if you didn't want to go along with the story that was you know, trying to shape society by religiously, then you got killed, shipped off, or burned at the stake, or what have you. But like I said, since the 15th, 16th century, all the Europeans got together and said, if anybody's going to rule this planet, it's going to be one of us. We can do it as a group of us, but one of us going to be in charge. Ain't no young, no black, it's going to be Caucasian. Whether you want to call them a German Shepherd, French Poodle, or whatever. It's a European thing. And we need to wake up to what's happening and get busy. So that's it.
Yeah, and we need to do two things to help us with identity unity. I mean, as Diop said, we need to be unified the continent of Africa, where you have one money, one army, a united army, a national army, a national language. You know, to get that unity, and this is one thing that Europeans did never want Africa to become a national. A unified continent, and then we need to educate many of our children from a cultural standpoint and perspective, and tell them, you know, hey, you got to go out in the world, but and deal with this human being. You don't argue with him about your identity. Just know who you are, and it'll make no difference where you are and what they say. I went through college. Y'all of us went through college. And the European, you know, was calling us of different names. And we knew our neighborhood, you know. I mean, they used to say, man, you know, you're from Watson, Compton. I know it was rough out there. And that's my home. Where I got my love from my mother. Like, just to make it happen, it was something about Mother's Day. You know, your mother's your first love. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. She, you know. You baptized in her womb and all that type of stuff, and the water, the sacred waters, I mean, from a different perspective. But anyway, this has been a very good discussion. And if somebody got something else to add, Roger P, tell us about next week, and I'll tell you about the 22nd.
Okay, next week. Let's check it out. What do you mean this week, Professor Rod Wednesday?
Yeah.
Here we go, right here.
That's the 17th.
Yep. Let's share the screen. Okay. On our website, let me show this first. We have community action. This is very important. And so we already have one on here that's going to be implemented a little later called the Black Table. But this next guest that we have, and I have to speak with him. So he's Benny Tinson, and he's the executive director of LARCA. And the topic is homelessness. So what's that, Rob?
Yeah, what is LARCA?
LARCA?
Los Angeles?
No, it's, I don't have it right in front of me, but I can pull it up.
Okay.
I'll pull it up so you guys will know. LARCA. LARCA means Licensed Adult Residential Care Association.
Okay.
Yes. So the show is going to focus on the homelessness and the seriously mentally ill, because they have programs in place that's funding a lot of people, and they're trying to cut them. So we're going to go. He's going to introduce us to what we could do to help with the programs that they have in place to help keep them in place. We'll have some community actions like signing petitions, demonstrating in up north in Sacramento. So it'd be a real informative show, and we could, as a community, we could do some things to help out in that area.
Okay.
All right. So what about Monday, Ra?
On the 22nd, we're going to have Damien and his sister Nadia to talk about the Merck Park. You know, they're rebuilding the Vision Center. Vision Theater that's going to be the anchor of the Merck Park. This sister Farrell, he's the director of the theater, and they're going to have community meetings in it and all kinds of stuff, plays and stuff. And so we want to deal with their knowledge of that also. Mike can get Ms. Farrell on to talk about the Vision Theater. All right, but Damian Goodman, and we'll see.
All right, hopefully that happens. It's information we can really learn about.
Yeah,
when it comes to the
they do some positive things. I hope everything go good. I'm gonna see him on the 17th because we have a Black United Front meeting called BCCLA, Black Clergy Labor, Black Community Clergy and Labor Association that meets once a month in a general assembly. We have a guest president at 12 noon. So I'll be on that, and we'll be talking about those issues. And he's on the board, so he attends that. So I'm gonna try to get a confirmation on this understanding. But Damon Goodman, and he's supposed to send my resume. I'm gonna email him tomorrow to send me the information on his, so we can announce him properly. All right.
All right. So each one teach one in Conscious Corner.
Let's take a pause, brother. Is that what we're finna do?
Take a pause for the cause.
All right. All right. Michelle, you take care, man.